parshas Emor. There's a lot of the Mo'adim and Kaihanim. There's a small parsha at the end, almost a mysterious parsha of the Noikiv Shem Hashem. It's very hard to understand the Mahusra parsha and so on. It says Vayitzeh Ben Ish Yisraelis. Somebody went out. Vuh Ben Ish Mitzri B'Sot Me Yisrael. Vayinotzeh B'Machta Ben Yisraelis V'Isha Yisraeli. Vayikah Ben Ish Yisraelis As Hashem V'Kal V'Yivyas Almosh and so on. So you have here a parsha of somebody being Noikiv Shem Hashem, and they didn't know what to do with him, and B'Mele they asked, and they said he got skila. It's hard to understand, first of all, why does the parasha, the Rabbi B'chai asked, why does it say, why did the Torah say the parasha? But they're called, the Torah is not dealing with the chatoim of people. It should say the din of Noikiv, it's true, the hoitzis and mekalol, but the details of the parasha, mele daveris, that are klaus, all the kaveris, that when the senator has to say. So you have the Mesayinim, and you have the Meraglim, and so on. You have the Chatoyim of Moshe Rabbeinu in Hanhoge. Those are in Yonim that are shaykh to everybody. But Protis de Gaveris, only two of them. There's the Mekoy Sheitzim, and there is the Mekal. And it's hard to understand why would have the Mekal over here, Lamein of Kamina. The Chazal say over here that there were three in Yonim. Why? What does the word Vayetze mean? So one of them, it says, Reb Levi says, Mi Oloma Yotza. Good, I mean, it's true that Oloma Yotza means he lost his Olam Haba, but what does it mean, Mi Oloma Yotza? Some would say Vayetze Ben Ish Yisrael, I mean, he didn't have it, he got killed for it. Reb Brachia says, Mi Pasha Shalmai Yotza, Liglik Vama B'yem HaShabbos Yachena, Derech HaMelech Lecho Pas Chama B'chol Yoyim Shema Pas Sinan Shal Tisha Yomim B'tmiya and so on. So it says that he made fun of Lechem Aponim, that Lechem Aponim is something that stays for many, it stays for 9 days sometimes, and remember it's modern that he should be making it to a king. It's hard to understand it. Lechem Aponim was one of the Nisim in Beis Hamikdash that it stayed fresh the last day like the first day. So if anything, I mean, it's a stronger ayah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If anything, it should be Adrabba. It says they used to show them the Shulchan and say, Re'uchi Baschem Lefnei Amokoyim, that the pass is as when the Ergon came, they would take the Shulchan, show it to them, and show them how Chavid they are, that it remains as fresh as the first day. So is the pshat that he was kaif and he felt it wasn't true? I mean, let him touch the bread like everybody else did. What is he trying to... It says he was melagdic on that. So that means Lechura, even though it was a nes, and even though it was still warm, he still had a ligluk on it. And talks to what that was exactly. The last one says that it was a meriva. He had a fight of where he belongs. It says that his father wasn't Israeli, so b'meila they pushed him from this shev to the other shev and so on. So he said, "Nichas b'nishas yotzim chuyev amad v'gidev." The way we're understanding it, Pashat is, he had a bad day in Besdin. He was left without a nachla, so mainly he was amad v'gidev, just like we're in a bad mood. We're in bad mood on Ruvain, so we curse Shimon. Whoever comes, if that's the darga of where the person was holding, that's certainly not a mockum to say it over here. Meilef, there's a certain element that this is the teichin of the Avera, that the giduf is mechayev, it's the losing is mechayev the giduf kilu. One is a direct hemshach of the other, so nicha, at least there's some avon in understanding what the kesher is. But if you're telling me that the pshat is that if you tell me that the pshat is that it's a stam has no shaykhs to each other, he was sore at losing out the nachla, then mayesh mitzvahs asina. So and then he happened to stand and curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu because he was in a bad mood. There's no point in it saying over here. The lechura also the etzem aver of the noikiv. It says, the Zohar says a strange lush. The Zohar says two things, two nikudas here. First thing the Zohar says is that Noikev is kemodich siv, like it says, Vayikav chor bedlosay, that he made a hole in the door. That pasuk, I mean, there has to be some muscle here. Vayikav means to curse. It definitely is vayikav makoba lekoba kail, maekav lekoba kail. The word koboy, meaning to curse, has different places where it says it. It's not the first place where the word kobo or nakov is used for cursing. In Bilam, ma'ekav lekoba kail. So, if the Zohar is trying to tell me a mashal for the grammar, what the word means, then what are we getting from that pasuk? It means like to make a hole in the door. What's the shaychus? I guess they're both not good things. I mean, there's no. What do we learn from that pasuk? Sometimes maybe a usage of a word, a tushtel. There's certainly not the usage of the word, and also the second part that he says in the last hey of the Shem Hashem is where he was pagan. So certainly there are inyanim that are a little bit far from us, but Pechoza is he's trying to pinpoint, the Zohar is trying to pinpoint for us, explain something more about what the teichen of this vayikav was. So let's try to understand the parasha here. Also, the fact that it's in the background of all the parsha ma'adim, the fact that you have the parsha ma'adim that's in it would tell us that there's some sort of shaykhus parsha ma'adim, some kesha. Like to try to understand it. Let's first try to understand a little bit the nekuda of the shevet over here. It says that he came into. That he had a fight about the Nachla, and he couldn't get a shevet because he didn't have a father. So Mimele, he got very upset. I'd like to understand a little bit about the Nekuda of the shevet part. The Gemara says in Bava Basra that the Klal Yisrael is Nitzchias, it's Psukim all over. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Avtocha and a bris and a Shavua. There was a Krisos bris from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not be Mechale, that Klal Yisrael is a Netzach. That is Psukim. Those are all the Psukim of the Oves, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to the Oves, made a bris with the Oves, that Klal Yisrael will be forever. That part is easier to understand. The Gemara says in Bava Basra there's another Klal. Gemiralon, Akaimalon, that the lechola shifter, the legmir shifter, that there is no such thing as a shevet that dies out. So, is it part of the general bracha? I mean, obviously, there is no mefurish avtocha to any shevet, because bracha was maftiach, that the klal is b'nei Yaakov. How do we understand the specific klal, the specific avtocha, or whatever it is, that there is no kloya in an individual shevet also? Where is that noveya from? Is it a subdivision? I mean, obviously it's a kesher, the fact that Klai Yisrael Klai Yusei won't become batel. But so the pshat is there are two mahalchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashgacha in the Briya by Fin Klali. We saw at Lamash in one Indian. We saw there's something called, last week, there's Ashkocha on the Prat and Ashkocha on the Klal. We saw that Mini Balechayim is the Klal and Mini Adam is the Prat. They're not just it's like when you have when you have a stronger magnifying glass, you can see smaller things. One is a larger, less of a magnification, and one is a larger. So Hashkocha Klolius is a smaller Hashkocha. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother with the details, Kaviyachol, and Hashkocha Protus is HaKadosh Baruch Hu bothers with the details. I mean, that's a very shallow deher in learning it up. That it's too dargis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bother with Balachayim, and because he can't be bothered with every single Balachai, so Hashkocha is only Klolius. And Klal Yisrael and people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was more focused and a sharper resolution, and therefore this problem also. That's a very, very That's a silly, it's a shallow way of learning it up. The Deher is differently. Let's say there are two oifanim in which there's hashkocha from an oyot or tachtit. Let's take an example. A person is a shepherd, and he has a lot of sheep under his shmirah. So his job is to see to it that the is to oversee the sheep. That's his job. The marshal, let's say he would give zechuf specifically with one sheep, and at the time he's taking of one sheep, three other sheep are lost. He's not doing his job. His job is not the sheep. He never connects with any of the sheep. It's like there'd be a bubble around it. His job is to since he's bigger than the sheep, since he's stronger, smarter, and so on, he, so to speak, let's say, forms a circle around the sheep, let's call it that way, in which it keeps it in. So, for instance, a fence is meant to fence in as much as possible and to be a wall around the sheep. The sheep are not supposed to get past the fence. The Baal Chaim are not supposed to get near the fence. That is one mahalach of his yachsus. Let's take a person, on the other hand, let's go even to people. Somebody is meant to guard a large group of people. So he's not supposed to shtozach with any one person. He's not supposed to give any time to any one person. His job is to look at the entire convoy and to watch over it, or the prisoners, or whatever it is, he's watching over it. He's watching over it as if he'd be a wall circling around it. That's one mahalach of shtozach tzu. A Talmud, for instance, in teaching, it's not the pshat a person is supposed to be teaching 50 people, and it's a kloliistika is yachsus, and as long as I throw out a few blat gemara or a few exercises in math, they learned. The kolal learned. It's supposed to be like a pchina, like it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, shchinim and abes mitar groinim. I'm supposed to kill thread the needle of each person. I'm supposed to be mamshich, a certain hunger, through each person. So that when this person is a badass, and when he's oimid al raglov, and when he's higi al hayra, he's be'etzim being mamshich my hayra. It's even if I have 100 people that I'm teaching, the pshat is I'm supposed to come up through each one mitzad his mitzias. So that Reuven understands me through his havana, and Shimon understands me through his havana, and Levi understands me through his havana. It's my Torah coming through his havana. So over there, the pshat is I'm supposed to be misyaches to each one through each one, not around or about or over, but inside and through each one. So you have two oifanim of a siachsus of a gadol to a katan. One oifan is klolistic. It's a type of a siachsus. Since I am bigger and stronger and smarter than all the sheep, I so to speak, if you can use a figure, a metaphor figure, I make a circle around them. I'm a wall of protection around them. Whatever I do benefits all of them in a klolistic way. It's not meant to be a pratistic oifan, because the tzur of that hugger is because I am bigger than them and stronger than them and smarter than them, I form the circle around them and protect them. That is a hanhugger of a klolistic oifan. There's a second hanhugger where I shtel tzu my mahalach adab, I can connect with each one. It's not the pshat that I stand over them, but I work through them. In that case, I have to be mischabit to each one, and I can only do it by being mischabit to each one individually. So Reuven, I have to go through Reuven's mahalchim, and Shimon through Shimon's mahalchim, and Levi through Levi's mahalchim. And my mahalach goes through each one the way he can bring out that mahalach. That is the... So Hashkoch of Klal and Hashkoch of Prat are not the pshat. It's one mahalach, except one is at a very sharp resolution, and one is at a more vague resolution. It's two completely separate mahalchim. One mahalach, it does not, is not misyachis to the prop, it, and it deheres me as the one that's bigger, like a bevel over it, like a circle around it. That's one mahalach, that's a mahalach of klal. And then there's a mahalach of prat, which is shtelzach su to each one, because it's the tzur of it is meant to be mamshech my mahalach through each one. That is the two mahalachim of Ashkocha. In Klal Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is misyachas to Klal Yisrael as a klal, as Knesset Yisrael, and that type of Ashkocha is like the Kloistic Ashkocha. It's not a weak Ashkocha, but rather it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Klal Yisrael. And then you have Ashkocha where HaKadosh Baruch Hu stels a chtsu to each prat in Klal Yisrael, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking through Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mashpia megala through Klal Yisrael. To go through something, you have to stels a chtsu to that nekuda. And b'meila, the chiluk of shvotim is nagea there. A shevet is the ischalkus of Klal Yisrael, and b'meila, each one has different nekuda. In a lesser degree, each part like that. But there's a mahalach of Yisrael after Shechot Yisrael. But the gili of that mahalach is that gemira lan that a shiftas is leikola, that a shevet is not nichla. It's a different. It's not the same as Klal Yisrael not being kola. It's a different hashkacha on Klal Yisrael that also is nitzchis, and that is a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Klal Yisrael, not a Kadosh Baruch Hu around Klal Yisrael, but a Kadosh Baruch Hu through Klal Yisrael. And b'meir, like it says by the Shvatim, we always point out, it says that it was mevorach each one ish ki berchasei asher berachasam. Yaakov Avinu gave each one a bracha in line with his metzias, and then it says, Rashi says chaza v'kolal, and was mevorach all of them together. And Moshe Rabbeinu says was mevorach me'ein berchas Yaakov. In the brachas to the Shvatim, there was a shtelling tzu to each one, and then it was a chlal of all of them in the klalistic oifin. That is the mahalach of Shevet versus Klal and Klal Yisrael. The Ish Mitzri, the Ish Mitzri is the pshat. He was lacking a specific makom. He didn't have a Shevet. He was shayach to Klal Yisrael as a klal, but Lechuri was lacking a shevet. So when he went to each place and tried to get in, no particular shevet took him. So the place that was makhish, was in the last hay. The hay, we always said the hay at the end of a word is like an akeva. That is, she's called Isha Kimi Ish Lukacha. And the Keva Kishtal Zachsu only to one Zacha. The Tzustel of something specifically to something lies in that type of Mitzias. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shtel Zachsu is Shayach to the Bechina of, it's the last Hey, is specifically where HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shtel Zachsu to different things as they are. The fact that the Kved Hashem comes from this world, from each prat kefibre chosay, that's merumas in the last hay. So this person was mafkia himself. He cursed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The makom that he was pagim was this nekuda. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a kolistic hashkacha he shayach to. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a specific hashkacha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shtel zich tzu. Since that mahalach is only a shvatim, he couldn't stall himself tzu, and that's why he rebelled against it. The mashal that the Zohar gives of being naikiv, of being naikiv adelis, let's take it as an example. Let's say a person has a solid wall around a place, so it's impenetrable. You can't go in. It's closed off, it's completely walled off, there's no way to get in. The opposite is, if it's parrots, a place that's parrots, there's breaches in the wall, like it says the Yevonim came and they made Yud Gimel Pirtzis, they breached the wall, then you can go in and out, and so on. There's no, it's no longer gadur. That is two states of something that is walled in versus paris. There's a third state, and that is if there are sha'arim or losses. If there's a door there, it means that you have to shtolzach tzu to a certain mahalach. The door, you have to be big, small enough to go through the door. If you're too big, you can't go through it. The door is open only at certain times. If you take a look in the after of Yecheskel, of the Nasi, that they read in Parsha Chodesh, that there is different times when the door is open, when it's closed, the different sharim for Klai Yisrael. Each shah is open at a certain time. Nasi has his own shah, but it comes into one shah, goes out to another shah. There's a whole mahalach of how you shtolzach tzu to the different sharim in different times. There's a very, very famous memoir, I mean it's printed from the Maggid, that about the different schos of tefillah, that there were yud beis sharim in the Beis HaMikdash and lamalot is yud beis sharim, and each one is keneged a different shevet, and therefore each one has to daven with his own nusach that to go through his shar. So the shar and adelas is a makom of saying there is a place for a kohen to go in, and there's a place for a nasi to go in, and there's a place for Kai Yisrael on Shabbos to go in, and a place for Kai Yisrael on the weekdays to go in. It's giving us a certain shtelling to the makom, to the person. A place that's parutz is open for everybody all the time. It's a marketplace. A place that's completely closed is completely closed. A place that has doors and sha'arim, it tells me that the makom shtells itself to the prat. This is a service entrance, and this is a guest entrance, and this is an emergency exit. Each, the makom shtells tzu mahalchim to each individual need. That's what it does. And that's where he was pirates. He couldn't, didn't want to have that makom, that there's a specific mahalach, and therefore he couldn't shtelzach tzu. And it's, that's what the Zohar says, the bayikov is, it's like making a hole in a doorway. There is a makom knisa there, but he's trying to be pirates dafka in the makom knisa. Let's go to Lechem Apanim and let's try to understand a little bit, and we'll see. The Lechem Apanim was Yud Beis Lechem. It says that wherever you have Yud Beis, the Shtemasa Miyadea, Shtemasa Shiftaya, the Yud Beis, the number Yud Beis always is Yud Beis Shvatim. It works both ways. The Maral always, when he speaks of the number of Yud Beis, he says Yud Beis is Gvulei Alachsein. That means if you take a square, a cube, or any type of three-dimensional figure with four sides, it'll always have 12 lines that delineate it, four on each surface, and that is the Yud Beis Shvatim are connected those 12 lines. In other words, 12 lines define a complete metzias, every facet of a complete metzias, and that's Yud Beis Shvatim. So Shvatim, wherever you have Yud Beis, the keneged of the Yud Beis is Shvatim. And because the metzias of Shvatim is Yud Beis. So if you have Yud Beis Lechem, it's keneged. Ramban says, when he speaks about Lechem Aponim, the Seder Lechem Aponim, he says, V'chein Adover Shezer Soir HaShulchan, Ki Birkas Hashem Me'eis HaYoyis HaOylam Le'niv V'yesh Me'ayin. Up until Bria's HaOylam, the Kodesh Baruch Hu HaShpo Az Yesh Me'ayin Dik. Avol Oylam Ki Minhagei Noheg. Once there is a certain Mahalach of Bria, it starts becoming Oylam Ki Minhagei Noheg. Avol, so he says, like it says, V'yara Kim Eskosh HaOsa V'ne Toiv Moit. Avol, he says, when there's a sheirish over there, tochel alav abracha, then it shayach bracha should be chal, v'toisev bay, and there should be toisefes, like Elisha, when she asked her what she has at home, and she said she has a little shemen, v'chola abracha al osich shemen u'mila kol akeilu. And the bracha was chal in the shemen, u'b'yor dekara kemech was like kolsa, tzapach tashem was like chasa, v'chein hashulchum b'lechem aponim, boy tochel habrocha umimenu yove aseva lekol Yisrael. V'lachein amru kol koyin shemagia kipul oichol v'savea. So Ramban is megalatos the yichud of lechem aponim. Anything else, first of all, everything else was shayach to the mikdash. In other words, the oyer was there. It was the oyer of Hamikdash. And the klal is ne lecha be lemeya. The oyer in the, as many people as looked at the oyer, they could read by its light. A thousand people, a million people, because light is a klolistic anhaga. If you light up a light in the room, as many people as there can use the light. The oyer was keneged chachma, keneged other things that was there. Ketoris, it says. The kala that need to be mispasim and so on and so forth. Also, reach b'derech klal, our tefisa and reach is as many people come into a place that has a reach toiv. Everybody's nene from the reach toiv. And ketores was ki'ilu the avoda of the mikdash. Bread is the other way around. The bread is the hashpa of the beis hamikdash into the olam hateva. That's what he says, Rambam. And there was a finite amount of pieces of bread. You could only give out just so much bread. Not like the oil, not like the reach. Bread, you could give each one only a small piece and that's it. And that's how kind of grant for it and so on. The Gemara Pesachim speaks about. But you could have the bracha b'sheira that each person, the piece that he got, could contain in itself a bracha. So it's the place where an hoga klolis gets threaded into the anhaga process. As long as there's a chibur between these two anhagas, and it starts with anhaga that's bigger than the world, with anhaga klolis, but it finds its way into the prat, which is the etzim the anhaga process. So Ramban is megalatos because lechem aponim is keneged panosa, because lechem aponim is keneged each person's achila, it has in itself a certain lower darga. It's not the Lashemdika part of it. It's not like the carbon that's going up Lashem. It's not like the oil. It's not like the Shem, and it's not like the Ketores. It's connected the bracha that shayach for each one, and we're saying that there was this chalkus to each one, and yet the Ramban says it's the shulchan's megala that as long as something is mechuba to the shayach, within the prat you get a taste of that kalolis. That is what the Ramban is being megalatas. So lechem aponim was a whole different as opposed to the other nisim in the Beis Hamikdash. He made fun of lechem aponim. There were a lot of other nisim in Beis Hamikdash. Like, why did he make fun that there was never a zvuv and lama tzaliyah mokoyim and mishtach mevochim and one of shachtam. The teretz is the Maal says that olam and nisim is a different world. Anyone who came into the Beis HaMikdash moved up into the world of Nisim. So just like in Olam Haba, there's no Tzfufim, there's no Evochim, it's the Mailam and Amokam, the Mailam and Azman, and it's not a Chiddush, whatever you say about Olam Haba is not a Pella. Beis HaMikdash was a mini Olam of a different world. And that's why there wasn't a Kasha that if a person was Beis HaMikdash and it was Mishtach Mevochim, it was a pella that there's another world like that. But once a person crossed over to that world, it was a world that was bigger than this world. Like on Hagga Klolis. One element in Beis HaMikdash was a nekud of prat, and that was lechem aponim. So let's just understand the dakus of where he went wrong. Let's give a mashal. A person makes food, it's fresh, and it's warm, and it's hot, and it's very, very good. So a person says, oh, it's fresh food. You leave it, you take it off the fire, you put it in the refrigerator, or you leave it around, it becomes cold, and cold food is tackled, it's stale, it becomes stale, it's a bizarre, it's not good, and so on and so forth. Let's say you reheat it. So it's doable for Hedyot, but certainly not doable for Melech. I mean, reheated food tastes reheated. It's not the same. Let's say you don't reheat it, but you put it on a hot plate. It's still not the same because it's not the cooking, it's not the freshness. And at some point it also goes bad. So the Noikev said the pas can be hot, but it's not fresh. In this world, everything, once something becomes bread, and that's what Lechem HaPanim was. Lechem HaPanim was bread for Kohanim to eat. It was standing on the shulchan. It's 9 days old. It could be hot, it could be warm, it could be moist, but it's artificial in the sense that anything that has to become a prop in this world loses its chiyus and loses its sherish, and that's that. What it didn't deher was, since he was a shayach to that, he didn't deher, like Ramban says, that kol sheyesh lo sherish, anything that's mechuba to the sherish is still mamshich there. These two anhagas are not completely divorced one from another. It's shayach to retain a sherish. When something is mechuba to the mukher, it retains its old metzias. Just like the mashal, a mikveh that's mechubah, mayim that's mechubah to a mikveh has the chiyus of a mikveh to it. Anything that's mechubah to the makkah within the prat itself has its that metzias. So the in the lechem aponim adab, that's where he rebelled against it. He rebelled against lechem aponim because that was taka the hagufa in lechem aponim was the gili. That even each one of the 12 pratis dikel lechamim, as long as it's dover to the sheirish, that same chiyus flows into each pratis mehalach. It's not the pshat that the bread stayed warm or the bread stayed fresh. The bread was fresh. It was constantly yenik its chiyus from the sheirish, and that's why it stayed fresh. That was the gil of lechem aponim, and that's why it's very interesting. Ross pointed out the Arizal. I mean, lechem aponim of all of the things in Beis Hamikdash, in a certain sense, is a low dagger. It doesn't go lemaila. It's askaros. It goes lemaila the levaina. But the lechem aponim itself goes to kahanim. It's a lower dagger. The shulchan is kineged ashiras. It's all this world in yanim. Yet of all the yanim mikdash, the Arizal in his mirror says yigalon timer the trace in a hammer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us to understand the time of the 12 lechamim. So some of some say that the pshat is it means because we don't know the time of it, which is hard to understand. I mean, if we know other timing, the Reb Tzedek says it means we should feel the time in the traits. We should be zeichet to the time of mitzvah. The reason is because in this makom, in lechem aponim, you have the gili. It's possible for us to be tamed in a pratistika oifin, and yet we're yonik from a big sheirish. It's the one mitzvah that even though we can shtel it suit to us, it still has a sheiches to the mokker. That's the mahus of the yud beis nehama of lechem aponim. Shabbos also has a din. Shabbos is the same stira like a sheva to a klal. On the one hand, there's a din of ayetzi yishmim koimai that everybody has. His makom, tchumin is very very characteristic of Shabbos, and b'meila a person is lechura limited to his place, and the scharfit is nachal b'li mitzar. In other words, in his makom, a person can find everything, can find the whole world in his makom. There's it starts with a hagbolat his makom. And it's yonik from Nachla B'li Mitzar. And in his makom itself, he can find the Nachla B'li Mitzar. One more inyan that shtel zechtzu over here, and that's the inyan of Sphira. The Sphira has a contradiction to it. There's 49 days. 49 days is 7 times 7. It's Mesura 7 times 7. Halachically, there's a minyan of Shavuos, a minyan of Yomim. Alpi de Teichen Shabbai. There's 7 times 7 Hanhagas HaKadosh Baruch Hu and so on. It's very, very, and the number 7 is a number of Ischalkus and the entire Torah. The Ramban goes through all the list and the days of the week and then the Shemitahs and the Yovelis and everything. And then there's a Mahalach that goes beyond it, and then it's the 50th day. Shavuos itself is the 50th day, whereas we count 49 days with specific ischalkis. The 50th day we don't count. The Teretz is the Aveda of to get the Matan Torah is a protistic avoda. It's an avoda that Yafshe Shalzach to specific nekudas and specific inyanim and the person's own mitzias. What we're zeichet to is beyond our mitzias. 49 is the days we count and 50 is what we're zeichet to. The understanding that there's a mitzias where the kolistic hanhaga flows into the protistic hanhaga is where a person is the full understanding of the process that's happening. In a specific inyanim, in general for us, if a person tries to get from where he's not, a person is taken by the godless of Torah, by the chashivas of Torah, by the godless of inyanim, and the person tries to go to inyanim but he's not shayach to, then he'll fail. A person who learns more blat than he can assimilate, a person who says a svar doesn't understand. Any time a person tries to do things and anhagas that he's not shayach to, then he's going to lose. You can't do better than you are, l'chura. And in a certain sense, if a person realizes the limits of his abilities and kishreinus and so on, it's disheartening. I know that, yes, for me to get this Gemara down, well, I have to spend the whole Seder on it. And I can't see much more. Am I going to be stuck? Am I stuck in it? Is this my makom? And realistically, if this is his makom, it's disheartening. It's disheartening if a person goes on later in life and he has limited amount of time. Any time a person is yearning for ruchnis, he's yearning for something big. That's the teva term. And yet, if a person tries to outpace and outreach whatever his makom is, it's not going to go. A person can only shtalzach to through his shah, through his abilities, and if it takes 10 times the chazir, that's the chazir 10 times. If it takes 100 times, 100 times. And if he can only learn this, he can only learn that. And if he can do X or Y or Z, a person's avoda starts only with what shtalzach to him. That's where avoda should be. And the bitterness is not in its place. This is the makom and the eifin. Obviously, if it's due to a person slacking off and so on and so forth, that's not an excuse. But mitzad his avoda, it goes step by step. It's through his gvulas. And because that's the only way it'll ever shtelz it through the person. So let's take an image that we relate to. A person has a needle and he wants to sew and he threads in a tiny, tiny, tiny thread that's a few millimeters wide. And he looks at it and says to himself, is it shayach that with something so thin and so small I could ever do anything with it? And the answer is, if it's connected to a very large spool, then the spool is the limit. And if the spool is unlimited, then you have an unlimited amount of thread. It's coming in through a very thin head. It's coming through a very thin eye of the needle. But the amount is limited only to the amount of patience that you have because it's be'etzim unlimited. Since Torah is coming from a mayim, just like the lady with the kalim, like the Ramban brings by Lechem Apanim, as long as she had kalim and was patient to keep filling the kalim, there would be unlimited supply of oil. It's only when you ran out of kalim that you, and if each kli was as big as a schnapps glass, it was still fine, as long as you kept bringing over the kalim. The two mahalchim are mischaber. Lechem, to go the chatchila to try to go to the big mahalach, to the mahalach haklolius of Ein Seif and Bli Gvul and Lamaila, me this and me that, is nothing, because it's not going to shtelz zechut to a person, and the person is not going to have it. The person has to start by finding his makom, his shevet, his gvulis, and go through there. What hope is there? I mean, when a person thinks of ruchnis and thinks of everything there is, and then looks at his own very, very limited kalim, the person asks himself, what's the point of it? The point of it is that even if you go through your mahalchim, but the makor, like he says, like Ramban says, the makor is limitless. All we need is to have a sheirish, a tube to go from one to the other. Lechem Apanim is the chelik of the Migdash that stells it to us. It's our bracha. It's where the ruchnius comes down and gets and serves us the lechem. The amount of lechem that needs to be masbiya a person has nothing to do with volume. It has to do with how much teichen there is in the lechem. The korech has svi in the lechem, and a kipul is enough to be masbiya a person. If mitzad the teichen of it, it's enough. So the what determines whether the teichen is enough or not is how mechubad is to the sheirish. So when a person is setting out to grow, to shteik, to learn, to have ruchniske goals, the person has to know that if he is biting off more than he can chew, if he's not chewing it well and not taking it with his kelim vavana and kelim of tfisa, and the person has nothing, then if the piece of bread are going down whole. But if the person should never feel that what he gets out of those pieces of bread that are kifi erkoi is just kipul. There is no gvul to the amount of sviya that could be in a pool. What a person gets, as long as a person is willing to do his share, as long as a person is taking it through his kelim, the hashgacha klolis of HaKadosh Baruch Hu threads itself through the hashgacha pratis. They're not minutic. The mistake, a person's minutic to two is a makif shem Hashem. He's splitting off the last hay from the first three letters. The chelik of the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hashpah comes into our world. He splits from the mokka. And that is a churban. The person is breaking. The person has his door, his entrance. And it might be open only at certain times. And it might have limitations and so on. But once you go in, you're in that same big hall as everybody else's. That is a makif shem Hashem tried to break the door down, and that doesn't work. But if you shut yourself through the door, if you go in each entrance the way it's built to be, then you get to the same hall, to the same place as everybody else gets to. The shayrish of Kabbalah Satorah and of a person growing is using his kalim and taking it in with his kalim and understanding that what flows in through his kalim is part of that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bligvul and bligvulus and his ashpor that has no gvulus and is a k'day svi for everybody. Chaps.
I think